League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
No. What he just said, man. A race.
Lines are moving here based on injuries and how teams have played.
Come on, you know what time it is. It's time for Moneyline with Kevin Walsh.
That is, with no respect, the single dumbest thing I've ever heard. And if that is your opinion, just know you are a buffoon who needs to go back to the drawing board.
And Donnie Rightside.
Now at least the shadow ban's off my account. So, I mean, come on now. We're living. We're out here living now on Twitter, man. I'm telling you, that's the way to go.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, channel 159.
Oh, yeah. Tuesday afternoon right here on the grid. No better place to be. It's Moneyline. Donnie Rightside here with Kevin Wall, Sirius XM, channel 159. And we got you for 2 hours here. A lot of topics to get to as usual. But the biggest topic, maybe, a real gut punch. Real gut punch for anybody. Forget about college sports, just sports in general. As Mike Leach passes away due to a heart attack, word gets out today about maybe 9 a.m., just as we were wrapping up the early line this morning. And it's one of those, because you see on Twitter, social media, people pass away every day. It's just a fact of life. Mm-hmm. But every, you say, okay, this coach did, that coach did, this player was old, this happened. It's like, oh, that's a shame. But when I heard, like, Mike Leach passed away, like, that one really felt like a gut punch. Like, oh, no, not this guy, because he feels like he was a national treasure.
Very few people have an approval rating as high as Mike Leach.
Yes.
Mike Leach was just unanimously adored across the board. It's been bittersweet, but if there's any positivity out of this, has been all the sharing of these different Mike Leach clips and videos and comments. I think maybe my favorite I saw was when he went to the locker room and said, so you're a little upset with the refs. What do you think? Said, what do you think? You've been watching the game. It was just so much energy. And on top of all that, a heck of a football coach, man. It really was. Like, this Mississippi State team, you know, I mean, 61, like, out of the top 25 teams. So, yeah, it's a real, real shame, no doubt.
Yeah, it's a good point there on the approval rating. But even from, like, a public perspective where it's other coaches, beat writers, if you notice today, if you're on social media, if you ever came in contact with Mike Leach, you have a great story. You might have spent 5 minutes with Mike Leach, maybe the most beneficial 5 minutes of your beat career. And that, I think, is what's going to be missed most because of the guy that was able to get up and talk just about randomness. A interview where he's leaving the field with somebody and they go, hey, you know, this beat or this announcer or a sideline person is getting married. Oh, you know what? Well, let me ask you a couple questions. Forget about the game itself. Let me ask you questions about, you know, who you're marrying, why you're marrying the guy. Also, which mascot is going to win a fight, who would be there at the end. All of that stuff certainly rolls downhill. And also, a great head coach and an innovator across the board. Now, one of the favorite things that I've been reading here is big name head coaches coming out with, like, hey, knew him for a long time. But you know what they keep on talking about, which makes me laugh? I've had a lot of conversations with Mike Leach. Half the time, no idea what he's talking about. But boy, you know, I love the guy. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, you'd kill for one of those conversations again.
Man.
Is how that goes. So, as you said, incredibly sad. I don't imagine Mississippi State's made any type of decision as to whether or not they'll play their bowl game. I guess they will. Most likely. That'll be obviously a... you know, that'll be an emotional football game, right? No other way to say it. And not to bring it this direction, but you know how people are in our business, in our world. They are going to be a lot. Mississippi State might be the most bet on team this bowl season.
And rightfully so. Well, they can't play this. No, honestly, you like I understand Mike Leach passed away, but if you were able to ask him, hey, if this was going to happen to you, what do you say? They better play that football game, man. Like, you know what I mean? Don't worry about me. You play a football game out here. And I was able to reach out to my buddy Eric Mealy, who's the running back coach down there at Mississippi State. And it's a tough time down there. I mean, one of the guys that brought him, I don't want to say brought him into the business. He was a coach, but gave him his first break up at Washington State. He's been with them now probably 7-8 years at this point. And you see all the lives that he's touched around. And you'll get it across the board. You know, ESPN, every 15 minutes just has a marker there about a new person coming on there, talking about, you know, coming in contact with them, what it means. And just a shame. Just when we say it enough and, you know, gone too soon. Mike Leach was gone way too soon. I mean, a national treasure here, but I certainly wanted to lead off the show with that, which is what a devastating blow here to the college football scene, particularly around bowl time, championship season, all that. But he will be remembered certainly fondly. Now, I want to switch gears with you here because we only have about 30 seconds before the break hits here, but I want this to bleed over into the second. When we were live this morning on the early line, Sham Sharania, with a nice little tweet this morning, saying, oh, yeah, by the way, the NBA renamed all their awards. And the best one right off the bat was the MVP award. And my joke was to Joe Ranieri, he's like, hey, Joe, what do you think here? Celtics-Lakers on the West Coast tonight. You know LeBron's probably not up yet. What happens when LeBron wakes up and goes, hey, by the way, the MVP awards, you know, we got a new award. Great. What's the name of it? The Michael Jordan MVP award. I understand why they did it. And we're going to go over, like, each one individually. But I honestly, it's kind of shocking they really did that, though, in my opinion. Like, does it matter? No. But when I saw that, I was like, yeah, all right.
As you said, we'll have time to get into it. It is incredible that they seemingly got all of these wrong. Almost impossible. But here we are.
Yeah. We're going to talk about all that more over the next 2 hours. Keep the dial right here on SiriusXM Channel 159. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, right back at it here on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's talk about Monday Night Football. The good of it. DRS said, you know, go over 18 and a half yards. Yeah, we are. Hold on. I want to get to this. Because I hit a bet last night over 18 and a half. And I got to tell you, it was James Conner over 18 and a half receiving yards. Mm-hmm. One of those where he gets 15 on the first drive, and I went, I know how this ends. I honestly know how this ends. But it didn't end that way. It was nice. He got like 29 yards receiving, ended up cashing in. But I do feel bad for the people last night. We're going to get to the awards in a second. This is why, Kevin, and last night I didn't bet it. And you know why I didn't bet this bet? Because Bet365 pulled it off the board, I guess, like 15 minutes before the game. The over 1.5 rushing touchdowns for the game. But I was saying to myself all day, I was like, now hold on. I know James Conner is going to get 90% snap share today in this game. And the same thing with Ramondre Stevenson. Like, why don't I just bet them both to get touchdowns, right? Or something like that, in that effect, or bet at each side. And I was like, yeah, you know what? And I was going in to bet the over 1.5, and it was gone already. So I then just switched gears real quick and took the reception yards. But I'm starting to sit like, I wish I can get more options on just like the like touchdown passes by this team, rushing touchdowns, which they do have. I love the fact that your game was ruined last night if you were betting individual players. But if you weren't, you still have a chance every game. I love this new market now, which is driving me wild, certainly. But I think there's a market for, hey, you know what? Somebody gets in. Look at it last night. Oh, no, Ramondre Stevenson goes down. So what? They ran for 2 touchdowns with guys you never even heard of before.
Yeah, it is nice because those injuries can come. I will say that Kyler Murray injury, it was the second play of the game. That right there, I had bet the over.
Yes.
Crusher. So, bet a Kyler plus Mac Jones total passing yards, dead on arrival. I bet the FanDuel boost involving Kyler, done. Mm-hmm. I bet a Hollywood receiving Brown prop, done. Oh, and by the way, Kyler Murray rush yards, knocking on the door.
Oh, that's
to finish
right.
The game. I just lost that for the season. Oh, and by the way, I lost Debo on Sunday. So That play right there probably cost me more money than any single play this NFL season.
Wow. Yeah. All the it's kind of because in the moment you're just saying like in the game, but the ramifications of that. And also, again, we're going to talk about it more, like what's the future of the Cardinals. But let's get into this NBA thing, right? The NBA renaming of awards. Now, if you haven't seen this yet, Michael Jordan, the MVP award, the Hakeem Olajuwon trophy for Defensive Player of the Year, which I don't have an issue with. And then we start to get into, why are we doing this again? I could see, Kevin, if you want to rename the MVP award, right? I understand it. It's the Michael Jordan award. I get it. But it does leave some other players like, hey, you know what, man? I'm going to win another MVP here. It's the Michael Jordan award, which, again, the younger generation would probably be excited. But the LeBron James, like, hey, man, that's kind of disrespectful. Like, you know, there's always this war, which the NBA loves, like, who's the better player? You're basically, from an NBA standpoint, like, saying, all right, it ends right here. Like, this... the true MVP of the NBA history is Jordan. That means it's the de facto better player. But I got to tell you, we were joking about this one. The Wilt Chamberlain Rookie of the Year. What does Wilt Chamberlain, I granted, he probably won the Rookie of the Year, but when you name an award after something, it's like, wow, this is what the Jerry Rice best wide receiver in the NFL this year. Hey, that makes some sense. The Wilt Chamberlain Rookie of the Year award?
Like, okay, and that's the thing.
You just naming names?
Yeah. Like, it's... Wilt, I understand, like, Wilt enters the NBA and he's averaging, 40 and 20, okay? But when someone's like, hey, what is Wilt known for?
Yes.
Maybe the last thing they would say is he won Rookie of the Year. Like, every time, they always joke about this, right? Man, Anthony Davis just became the third player all time to score 40 and 15 in four straight games. And then it shows that, like, AD did it once, Shaq did it twice, and then Wilt did it 14 times.
Yeah.
It's So it's like, yeah, man, when I think Rookie of the Year, my Wilt Chamberlain nailed it. Awful. Next terrible award name.
Yes.
Like, go through all of them. They're all, maybe the Havlicek, they're all bad.
Yes, the Havlicek one, like, and the best part about it is, I'm going to tell you right now, like, I'm an old school guy. Like, I know who John Havlicek is. A 13-year-old kid, let alone a 22-year-old, 23-year-old sixth man of the year. Hey, you won the Havlicek Award. Probably somebody sponsored it, right? What's Havlicek Motors, insurance? Like, what is that actually? No. He's a really good basketball player for the Celtics. Or this one. Hey, man, I think this is the best one of them all, to be honest with you. The George Mikan Most Improved Player.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'll let you start. Go ahead.
No, I don't actually know if people know how dumb this is. This is by a lot the worst one. George Mikan rookie season, the George Mikan Rookie of the Year award maybe would have made some sense. Okay, rookie season led the NBA in scoring and then averaged less points per game his next year. Quite literally, if they were giving this award out during George Mikan's career, he would have been given zero consideration for the award his entire NBA career. What is that? And, like, I know people are like, oh, it's great to see them showing respect to George Mikan. God, come on, please, can we not? I get it. He was a legend of the game. I get it. It's not as if George Mikan is a top 10 player of all time. No, we don't have to make sure we get George Mikan a little bit of respect here and giving an award after him. Name the damn thing after Giannis. I know he's still active. It doesn't matter. He's the most improved player that's ever improved.
And I was even joking, like, why don't you just have, like, the guy that wins it, like, it's called his award for a year to, like, hand it over. You know what I mean? Like, that would be better here.
Jimmy Butler Award.
The one that really got my attention, too, was the, I see George Mikan. Is there another one? Where's the Jerry West? It's a new award. Clutch Player of the Year. Now, Jerry West, hold on, is one of the best players in NBA history.
Yeah.
A lot of people know, even the younger kids, who because of all of his, you know, Lakers, he made the deals, and now you have the HBO special. A lot of people, rightfully so, know Jerry West. And also, he's the logo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he has that cachet. The most clutch player. I was like, now, hold on now. Clutch usually means coming up big in big games. This guy lost every single damn time he got the finals, but one. He's like 1 in 30. Like, what is this award?
It's actually nuts. They very simply should have just named the Clutch Award after Michael. That's all they had to do was name the Clutch Award after Michael. Just everyone knows, for your LeBron versus Michael debaters, yeah. right? What's the main thing people will try and argue to say why they'd rather Michael Jordan is if there was 4 seconds left, they would want Mike to take the mid-range jumper yeah. instead yeah. of LeBron, even though yeah. the other, even though all of the other, you know, 47 minutes played of the basketball game, LeBron's better than Michael. But okay, look, name that after Michael. Here's the thing. No, I don't think that LeBron should have the NBA MVP thing named after him, okay? Kareem has the most MVPs. Just name it after Kareem.
Yeah.
I don't know. How is that? How do you mess that up?
I don't know.
Just name it after Kareem. Like, yeah. Even the DPOY, like, look, Hakeem is one of the best defenders of all time. Some would say the best. So it's not a problem. But it is, I guess they weren't going to name it the Ben Wallace Award, though, right? Like, they weren't going to name it the Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just, who asked for this? Can I tell you one thing I hate about hockey?
Go.
I hate that they have, that they're the Hart Trophy, the Vanessa. I hate that. I think it's ridiculous. Because I don't even, MVP, DPOY, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Nobody yes. needs this.
What about the Lady Bing? You don't like the Lady Bing? Like, oh, I won the Lady Bing last year. What is that? Is that a monument?
Honestly, that sounded like a joke. I thought that was a joke.
Yeah.
Is that actually a thing they give out?
Yes, okay. The Lady Bing, yeah. yeah. Now, I think the Lady Bing is almost like sportsmanship. Like, I don't even know, but your point is correct. How about just the MVP award? Makes some sense. Yeah. Like, at least the NFL, you rip about who's actually can win the MVP but can't win the Offensive Player of the Year. But at least we know what it stands for at this point in time. We're going to get to the phone lines after the break. I know a couple of people are waiting, so stick around and keep it right here. SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
But I the reason...
Ho, ho, ho! There you go. Yeah, how about that? And by the way, JP, do we have a celebrity on hold with us right now? Is this still true? Yeah, get him up here. The X-Man. Christmas music playing. That means he's playing Santa Claus and giving out those gifts. What's good, X-Man?
Yes, sir. Everybody knows that the Rookie of the Year Award should have been called the Allen Iverson Rookie of the Year Award.
Yes.
I'm from Virginia,
come on.
Man.
He's got to be in there.
Come on.
Yeah.
He came out of the best draft class and won Rookie of the Year, right?
Yeah. My guy.
Okay. Makes sense.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, I got the four for the day.
All right.
We're going with Argentina to win in regulation.
Mm-hmm.
We're going with Tampa Bay Lightning, money line.
Mm-hmm.
We're going with the Phoenix Suns, money line.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going with the Boston Celtics, money line, to beat the Lakers tonight.
Ooh,
easy.
Lakers.
That's a nice 4-team parlay.
What are we paying out, X-Man? What are we thinking here? What's payout?
6-1.
There you go.
But, you know, I got to put $20 on it to make it 100, though.
Yeah. Make that quick C note. He's got the gifts. I mean, I got a feeling that over the next, like, let's just say week and a half, he's going to call in with a nice little get your Christmas paid for free parlay. I mean, I know that's coming. It's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the man's a dog. He's out here working. We love to see it. I feel like I haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah. Oh, he's saving up. Come on. There's a lot of things going around Christmas time and the holidays. He can't be everywhere, K-Dub. You know what I mean?
It's a good point.
Keep it up with us here.
Yeah, go ahead. Did the Texans change quarterback again? Did I just see a team?
I don't know. The best part about it is those two quarterbacks are identical on the field, like looking. So I have no idea who's playing. And sometimes I see like Driss. I was even like, yeah. I wasn't watching the game per se all the way through, but I would like check the updates on the ESPN. I'm like, well, Driscoll's in the game, man. They probably just think this is the other guy at this point. I had no idea that they're using a two quarterback system, which I think Lovey said they're not going to do anymore. One of the topics we had today on the early line, which I think you would have got a kick out of here, it's called the quarterback carousel. I'm telling you, every single game this week, it feels like you're questioning either who's the starter, or they're injured, a new guy replacing them, and what's going on. I mean, it's pretty wild this week.
Sunday slate stinks, but at least it has a lot of, I wonder what this guy's going to actually do. Who's starting in this game?
Look, the NFL is, it's a little interesting to me. I was going through just some of these remaining schedules because there's so few left, and I just wonder if some of these divisions are going to flip. Can I tell you this?
Yes.
You know, this is a safe place. I'm worried about the Eagles winning the division.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Why? You worried about the Saints? Woof.
Yeah, because it's just, it's a lot to ask of a team to win every single game they play the way that they are. And if they lose to Dallas, again, there's not a lot of games left. But if they lose to Dallas, they cannot lose another football game. They can't, because the Cowboys will have the division tiebreaker over them because the Eagles' loss will be...
Dallas isn't running the table, though.
Maybe not. But today was the first time where I was just staring at it, and the odds, they were shorter. Like, there's all these teams that are like these minus 1,000 prices, DRS.
Yeah.
And that's just not where we're seeing the Eagles, and it is for a good reason.
Yeah, but by the way, if you're looking at the Cowboys' schedule here, at the Jaguars, no longer a cakewalk there, and you know they're going to be looking forward to the Eagles game, which is on Christmas Eve. You're going on the road to take on the Titans, which they are going to be fighting for their lives at that point. And then you take on the Commanders, who are probably fighting the Giants for the final playoff seed there on the road as well. Three out of four games, they're going to be on the road. Now, also, look, I understand that they lost to the Packers, who stink. They waxed the Vikings, which is a great win. Get by the Giants 28-20. Now, granted, it was a late touchdown, but the Giants stink. The Colts stink. They iced them. The Texans are wretched. They should have lost to them. So now you're playing, let's just say, four teams in the playoff hunt coming up, three on the road. They're not running the table. And the one home game you got, it's the Eagles, who are going to come into that game not sitting like, oh, you know, it's going to be fun, but if we lose, it's no big deal. No. They're going to want to pulverize the Cowboys. Not to say they're going to do it, but that's a highly motivated game for them. So that's the way I look at it coming through.
You know, funny enough, I know it's unlikely, if the Eagles get tripped up this week by the Bears, I'll be confident that they will then beat the Dallas Cowboys.
They probably get a good line on that game, too. Is there a look-ahead line on that one?
Yeah, there should be. What would you make it in Dallas? I would say Cowboys minus two.
I don't know. Can you put the Cowboys as a favorite in that game?
You don't think at
all? Look at the Eagles win, comfortably, meaning like the Eagles cover the spread, touchdown. I don't care if they win 24-17 against Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Dallas Cowboys get by the Jaguars, same thing, by like 5, 6, 7 points under a touchdown. I don't know if you can. And by the way, why don't a week 15? Is it week 15? What week is it next week? Usually they put the extra ones up here. Player props, draft, make playoffs. Specials, awards, division. No, I don't think they have it.
Nothing
like those select games. Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see at that point. But there are a few pretty good vantage points in the NFL overall this week that I do like. And we could spend some time talking about that in hour number two. But let's also talk about the game last night. The Arizona Cardinals. I mean, the season was dead on arrival anyway for them. But now you just throw the team into, forget about just dead on arrival. Like, what are we going to do? You throw them into chaos. It was December 12th last night. Your quarterback, who's built on speed, maneuverability and elusiveness. He's got an ACL now. Is what we haven't got. Oh, there we go. So an MRI just confirms, as I said, just confirmed an MRI is a torn ACL here for Kyler Murray. That's usually a 12-month injury. Let's just say he's a quick healer. All right, he's back in October. And the worst part about it, Kevin, is it's not like saying, okay, I just can't play. Like, it's against the rules for me to play in a football game, but I can practice June, July, August, September, full speed. You're not full speed. What are you doing in the offseason? You're throwing a football. I mean, at some point you will, but you're worried about running in a straight line and rehabbing every single day, not actually being out there in OTAs letting it rip. What a devastating franchise injury. And
he just
got paid.
Correct. Devastating for the franchise. Look at Odell, okay? Some guys come back quicker, but Odell got injured in February, and Odell's basically like, I'll be good in January, and there's some people doubting that. That's an 11-month window. We're here in December. So basically, I think you could comfortably say Kyler Murray is going to miss at least the first half of next season. So right away now, if you're Arizona, again, I told you I think Hopkins is going to bang the table, get out of there. There's less pressure, I think, to fire Cliff Kingsbury. And also, you just paid him, by the way. So that's always been a bit silly, but there's less pressure now because next season you're going to be thrown off. But what are you doing at quarterback? When
yes,
you're going
correct.
To miss someone for that long,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you can run Colt McCoy out there for 9-10 weeks.
Nope.
So they have to sign a legitimate player, a Jacoby Brissett equivalent, don't they?
Baker Mayfield.
He's going to play every team in the NFC.
Cliff. I mean, it's like if you are looking at a position because you're rehabbing yourself right now, I'm not talking about injury-wise, just image-wise, hey, look, I could play football with the Rams. Right? I think it's a good spot because you have a head coach that, even though your players are down and injured, he's still going to have a pretty good game plan for you, and you can trust him. Hey, you know what? I'm really working on my P's and Q's here. You enter into the season next year. Like, where is he going to be a starting quarterback? At the lowest level, like let's just say everything goes, you know, with your game plan, the Texans go, and we're not drafting a quarterback, but we still want to see what we can do with some of these younger players we're drafting. How about Baker Mayfield for a year? But I think Baker Mayfield would be a perfect landing spot in Arizona under the guise, again, like, hey, look, you're probably not going to start the whole year. 1 year with a lot of bonus incentives, and you almost turn it into a year with like Cleveland had. Hey, Jacoby, you know you're not the franchise guy here. You can make yourself some money and be a backup quarterback after this is through, probably for another 5, 6, 7 years, mm-hmm. just based on what you're doing there. I think it's a great move for because you're not going to get a top-level prospect to go there. And I don't mean prospect, just meaning not a rookie, just a prospected quarterback for your team going, hey, look, hey, man, you want to come to Arizona? Yeah, it sounds great. Oh, by the way, I don't care if you throw 62 touchdowns and no interceptions the first 8 weeks. You're not our quarterback. We can't afford you there. We got a guy making too much money. He will be the starter. I just think it's one of those type things. But you're right. Looking at that franchise, is it easier, though, to fire Cliff Kingsbury now? Is it one of those where you say, like, look, no matter what happens, Kyler's our quarterback. Like, we pay this guy a lot of money. And we'll just let it ride next year because if it does, number one, you're going to have a pretty good draft pick this year. Number two, you fire him at the end of next year, it's less money.
Yeah. And then, look, they just extended him. It's not a blessing because I wouldn't say that. But the problem with Arizona, despite paying Kyler this offseason and Cliff Kingsbury, things were so ugly that it was like, you're going to have to make a decision here, it felt like. Well, now you can almost somehow, even though it's your season was already over, you can chalk the whole thing up to the Kyler injury odd way. I think they can at least and almost get away with it. So I don't think they'll move on. I think there's some guys, you know, one of the Washington quarterbacks is probably not on that roster next year, right?
Yeah, correct. Yep. Wentz. Wentz out west. How about that? You like that?
Right. Yeah, and I'll be all about it. It'll be a good time. If the Jets aren't going to give Mike White a chance, I guarantee you Arizona would say, let's do it, and, you can come in and up here.
Like, Arizona can't go out, and, like, James I'm not Winston. Even saying, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they can't go out and just say, like, oh, well, we're going to put Trevor Siemian in there, right? We're just going to go low budget, and the fans are like, dude, I'm not even showing up next year. Like, I know what you're trying to do. They can't sign, like, an Aaron Rodgers or make a deal because, again, you have a quarterback that's on the hook for hundreds of millions of dollars in the first year of his deal. But you still need to show, like, it's like, hey, you know what? Got Drew Lock pretty cheap here, guys. Let's go out and win some football games and hold down the fort till Kyler comes back. That ain't working. That's not going to work. So, Arizona, 4 wins. Just keep it there. Try to draft, and even next year might be a disaster. We'll be right back on Moneyline. It's Tuesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You need the winning edge at Christmas time. We got you covered. Monday through Friday, 2 hours on Moneyline. It's the only way to do it. Kevin, it's Donnie, Sirius XM, channel 159. Phone number 844-843-6879. Love this week here. Bowl season does start. By the way, too, K-Dub. Troy, UTSA, Friday, 3 p.m. We're going to be live for that. Two teams, 2 losses on the season. 2 teams, 10-game winning streaks coming into that game. Line at -1.5. Like, not bad. Like, a little, most people would just see UTSA Troy. I'm not paying any attention to that. 10-game winning streaks by both teams heading into this. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. No, I get, we,
yeah.
We'll be live for it, but technically we won't be, because we'll say goodbye for it.
Ah,
right.
That's true.
But we will be live for UAB Miami of Ohio, straight 6-6 football teams. In the Lenders Bahama Bowl, hometown Lenders Bahamas Bowl.
You know, I can never. It's like I don't like bowl season, but if I'm going to be on the air for content, and you got a live game midday. I'm going to be happy about that. I am, just like I'm going to be happy about today too, or maybe not. Argentina coming up in 20 minutes here.
Yes,
Messi anytime goal scorer boost. That's a good one. The thing I like about that too is like. Like, Messi gets the penalty every time. Like, nobody's allowed to take the penalty shot, right? It's him every single time, no matter what. Or is it Di Maria? Who's the star forward? Who's the star forward?
Well, it's really Messi. Like, they used to have Aguero. Di Maria's still on the team, but he's not a starter. Yeah. It's all Messi.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. I think they move on, and it'll be fun for that. What do you think about that game? Anytime goal scorer, what do we got?
I expect Argentina to move on. I thought Croatia for 8 total shots was a tempting number, just considering you would expect them to be trailing. Argentina's done a good job getting on the score sheet within the first half of games. So if that then can allow Croatia to get more opportunities at the net or force themselves to have more opportunities, that was a tempting number. I didn't think there was anything that really, really grabbed me in the game, but again, I think it's Argentina. But because of that, I thought the Croatia shot prop maybe had a little bit of juice.
Modric, we'll see if it has any juice in that game today. By the way, the tributes keep coming through on social media from Mike Leach. How about this story right here? One time, Mike Leach told one of his players he wasn't going to play, probably at all, but that he'd like him to start his coaching career as a student assistant. The kid got angry, left the office that day, but came back the next day and took the job. That guy? Lincoln Riley.
Wow.
How about that story?
Really?
Uh-huh. How about that one?
Huh.
Pirate.
Goodness. Wow. That's something, huh?
Yeah, that is something. I mean, that's just, man, I wish that guy was still. I mean, the run and gun, run and shoot, just, it was phenomenal stuff. And if I see any other, you know, good stories out there, certainly we'll be sharing those and passing them through. Now, let's get back to the NFL. Because did you know T.Y. Hilton went to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, OBJ. I did.
Now, you're going to comment on that in a second. But also, the Buffalo Bills go, we ain't waiting for you either. Cole Beasley back to the Bills, getting the band back together, which I guess would leave the New York Giants. Now, my question to you is, number one, do you think Odell Beckham Jr. will be on a football team this season? I don't care if he plays in the regular season. It's just you want a playoff team to say, I never wanted to play in the regular season. I'm playing in the postseason, and that's what it's going to be. Or B, is he just going to sit this one out and wait till next year? Because the tea leaves are, NFL teams aren't happy with him sitting down, getting wined and dined, and going, hey, by the way, I do want some money this year, but I'm not playing the regular season. So even if you don't make the playoffs like the Giants, I still want like a couple million bucks just because you signed me. And teams are going like, oh, hold on now. Hold on.
Mm-hmm. So I do think he will play this year, and I actually now think it is going to end up being basically a sleeper team, and I think it's going to end up being the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah?
The Niners have always been interested. He loves L.A. He doesn't have loyalty to the Rams, otherwise he would have just re-signed with them. By the way, if he just wanted to make a couple million dollars, I think the Rams would have given him like a one-year $10 million contract or something, and he could have made money that way. But he didn't do that. They just saw Debo get injured. They're watching their entire team fall apart. It's not going to cost them much of anything. So why not just put a little more talent on the roster as a security blanket? Look, if he's healthy, he's still Odell Beckham Jr., and he could obviously, with that team, do some really, really good things.
You know, it sounds kind of funny, too, because when you're looking at players like that, they don't have to come back. They got plenty of money in the bank at this point, but they're looking to make a smart decision for next year. But the goal is, like, hey, man, I can latch on for some incentives and maybe earn $1 million and win a Super Bowl. That's why I've been joking about, I see, like, Rob Gronkowski in studio. Happy as can be. You know he's not going back to Tampa Bay. Because number one, say, hey, I need help. And Tom's like, yeah, man. Usually I'm calling you to tell you to come down here. Don't come down here, man. Like, this is a mess. And I don't even know how much longer I can even stand in the pocket. So don't worry about us.
Yeah.
But you can see guys like a Howie Roseman pick up the phone and be like, hey, look, Dallas Goedert's coming back. And what happens if he gets a little bit more banged up or they don't have a backup tight end? Look, we just signed Ndamukong Suh. He's here. He'll probably pick up the phone and be like, hey, man, it's a paradise right here. You parachute in for the playoffs. You get yourself another ring. You have some fun. You earn some money and be on with your style. And we're not asking you to run block in the trenches. Let's be on the team. We need a backup tight end. Go two tight end sets. Gronk and Goddard at the same time. I could see another move coming for the Eagles that's unanticipated. And even the OBJ, where I do get a kick out of what the Eagles are saying. Like, hey, by the way, Eagles, what do you think? Like the wide, like AJ Brown's like, yeah, I don't think so, man. Like we're straight here. I'm the number one. I don't need anybody else. You know what I mean? Because I get that vibe. Because usually, like the Dallas Cowboys are like, you know, you're not hearing from like CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. But you don't see like Darius Slay and Bradbury and Brandon Graham going, hey, OBJ, man, you want that ring? Come here. Because I think they know they got those, some alphas in that wide receiver room that are like, yeah, we stop it. No,
but it's funny. The recruiting is not CeeDee and Dak. Like, shouldn't it have been CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott? I would have met the Mavs game. Like Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs. I have no faith in that group. Like it's those guys who are hunting Odell Beckham down. A little crazy, a little weird. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. So it's one of those where it's the optics are terrible. Like if you are a player on a team anywhere, and Jerry Jones is just carrying on, hey, man, we would love to have that guy. And CeeDee's like, man, you got rid of Amari Cooper because I'm the alpha here, right? Michael Gallup, you signed him to a new contract. You expect him to perform big time. James Washington, you have high hopes for, is coming back. And all I keep hearing is, man, we get Odell, we put us over the hump at this point. Like, you're right. Like Tre'Davious White, the cornerback for, like, the Buffalo Bills. He's not out there going, hey, man, we get a corner in here that's going to, like, mess up my playing time. Yeah. I would love it here, and we can make this run. Stop!
Like, it also, to pull back the other direction, what you mentioned with Gronk, do you think anyone even calls him? Or it's just like, maybe Tom will call him, maybe not? Like,
yeah,
do you think that people bang his phone and see if he's into it?
Because unless it's, like, the top of the heap, right? If it's... Hey, man, Kansas City just lost Travis Kelce. And Andy Reid's like, hey, look, man, I can get you some money. You know I'll take care of you. We still got Patrick Mahomes. You want to catch 6-7 balls a week here, just like running wide receiver type routes? I got you here, and we would love to have you. But it's not like one of those teams like the Dallas Cowboys, like, hey, Gronk, you want to say, hey, I don't know about it. You know what I mean? Or that's what I joke about the Eagles. Like, hey, man, you can have a soft landing. We'll sign you. You won't even play for 3 weeks. Just get your legs under you. We got a bye week. You can get to the Super Bowl. You can promote whatever brand you want at the Super Bowl and what you're doing in the offseason that you know you love to do, but still be in the spotlight of a big game. Because at that point in his career, he's got all the money. He's got all the accolades. He's got the Super Bowl rings. The only thing that would entice him more is, I could play 4 games, make $2 million. Who knows how many endorsements I can get and get another ring? You know what? This might make some sense here.
Which, again, he obviously... would be set up in a great position, which, you know, and it is funny too for like Odell's health situation. Like the Eagles might play no starters week 18 and have a bye.
Yes.
Like, quite frankly, like it might line up. But as you said, I'm not sure I want Odell Beckham Jr. The whole thing, it has been very bizarre now. And the vibes of it are, I think, are off. Ultimately right now.
Yes, the open arms aren't out there. Like, hey, we're a superstar team. Like, you didn't hear anything. Like, when Linval Joseph came in, as well as Ndamukong Suh, and we didn't see Fletcher Cox, like, man, it's like no. Like, there was an actual need here. Like, we really need to stop the run. This isn't going to be our Achilles heel on the way to a Super Bowl. We're going to shore that up. You don't look at the Eagles and go, hey, man, A.J. Brown. He can't even beat one-on-one coverage. We need Odell Beckham to open up the offense for us. Like, that's not even, like, a question at this point. And they're not injured in that room. So it's not anywhere like, hey, we just lost Devontae. We could use the number two out here. Maybe we can catch fire for the playoff run. That's not happening.
Right.
Yeah. So those are the updates there. And Cole Beasley back to the match. That's what they needed. Like, the Bills were looking around like, hey, you know
what?
Jumpstart that offense. Let's go, CB!
I mean, but what is that even really to accomplish there? Like Cole Beasley, like that? I don't know. That felt very random.
Yeah, I think they're upset with it's Isaiah. What was the name slipping?
McKenzie.
Yeah, like exactly. Yes, McKenzie. Not really happy with his route running, and I think the word coming out is, look, man, on 3rd and 4, I need you to run 5 yards, turn around, and catch the football. Not like take off on like a jet sweep. Like, where are you going, man? Sit down. Like, that's what I'm getting the vibes at, where, hey, Cole Beasley might not be what he was, but I know where he's going to be at all times. So I think that's what's happening at this point here. Now, overall this weekend, right, there are some good matchups. And the one that is really interesting, though, is right away Thursday tomorrow, or excuse me, 2 days.
Niners are favored by 3.5 on the road. First road start by Purdy. Now, we know Deebo Samuel won't be in that football game. That's not going to help. Brock Purdy, first road game here. After two home games, came in on the fill-in for the Dolphins game, which was home. Played last week against Tampa Bay, which was home. Now you go on the road, quick turnaround, hostile environment. Seattle really needs this game. And a little bit of an injury. Are we, like, sooner or later, we're going to get a buyback on Purdy, which means that he doesn't have to stink, but, man, Purdy looks like he's a top 10 quarterback. Like, when is that coming Thursday night, even though it's not a great defense?
No, I think it is an interesting point, right? He's a little banged up, so it could make things tricky. But if he's good again in this game, I don't think you can go, come on, Seattle's defense is not good. They're not good, Seattle's defense, really. But that'll be three games of good quarterback play from Brock Purdy. And again, we're all, or most of us, or team, you know, folks that looked at the Niners as not reliant on their quarterback. They just can't have a disaster situation. They can't have, a truly horrendous quarterback there for them. And if Brock Purdy is going to look like he's going to be good, it's believable because of how talented the team is, and of course how good the coach is in Kyle Shanahan. So this might be a spot where if they aren't able to get it done, how do you not buy into what they've got? And their schedule's pretty light too, right? They got another Arizona game coming their way now, Colt McCoy.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to struggle all that much coming down the stretch at this point for the 49ers. They might be able to stack up wins going all the way through and really build it up. Now, there is only one bye in the NFL, which looks like it's probably going to be the Eagles. So they will be playing right off the bat. But we'll see. Time will tell in there. Also, we'll talk about this a little bit in hour number two. But just a quick point here. When you play the Detroit Lions, you know they're fake punting. You know they're doing fake field goals. You've been in high school football, right? Hey, by the way, what are we doing here? Punt return right, punt return left, punt safe, right? Like, we know they're probably going to fake here. Why do they catch everybody off guard every time and have an unbelievable fake punt? I'm leaving my defense out there with a returner back 40 yards going, we're not setting up a return. Just fair catch it. But you're not going to get free first downs off us here on a fake punt any longer. Mystifying. You play Detroit, you know they're faking it, and yet you still can't stop it. Like, you're bewildered. They're actually faking punts. Quick segment coming up here before we get to the top of the hour and hour number two. Let's see where JP's going today. Maybe soccer's on the board for him. Come on back and find out. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, quick segment here before we get to the top of the hour. Hour number one here, coming to a close on Moneyline. If you want to get involved in the show, give us a phone call. You can, 844-843-6879. But let's find out where JP is going. Soccer is about to start in a few moments here. So, JP, are we going soccer, NBA? Like, what are we doing today? Future for
I'm
football?
I'm going to the soccer.
All right, let's go. World Cup action. There is an odds boost right now. Messi to score one goal or more versus Croatia in 90 minutes in stoppage time only, boosted to plus 200 for Argentina to advance. It's a minus 220 price for Croatia, plus 176. Are you going with a odds boost, B, just a side to win, or a prop bet here?
Side to win.
All right.
In this World Cup game he's doing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that means he's taking Argentina.
Or Modric. What about Modric?
Has to be.
Modric and the boys.
Not enough juice on Modric, I think, for him.
And by the way, worst uniform left by far, Croatia. I mean, what are we doing here? Looks like 1988. I used to have those bedspread. Yeah, I used to have that bedspread like 1988. Stop it.
Wow.
Horrible.
Slanderous.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. No love from you. That's how it goes.
So he's going prop today. Side.
I was
just about to flip to the goal scorer and said, hold on, what am I even going to this page for?
I am going to bet this Croatia 8-plus shots, but I made my guess. He's betting Argentina.
Let's see here. I'm going to... Now, could it be... Is it a full game, or can it be like...
What are you doing? Just guess.
I don't know. Yeah, there's too many... Like, see, soccer, there's too many bets up here on this board.
How distracted are you, man?
Yeah.
He's picking either Argentina or Croatia. Just say one of those two countries and be done with this. Do you not know what's going on?
I don't understand.
Are you
trying to decipher? Is it to qualify for next round? Is it 90 minutes? Like, there's a lot of options here. Way too many options. And also, how about on the three-way? What happens if they just push in this game? I mean, there's a lot of things to think about at this point, right?
The game is going to start. You have to guess right now.
No, we don't. I'm going to wait on it. And maybe somebody scores in the first minute, and then I can go back on it. Hour number two coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.